Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Welcome back. Killer Shrimp might sound like the name of a B-grade horror film you'd see on the Sci-Fi Channel, but the tiny crustacean poses a real threat, especially in the Great Lakes. Its voracious appetite has earned it a spot on the state's recently updated banned species list, which identifies potential invasive aquatic pests. There are already more than 180 invasive species living in the Great Lakes, and they've had an impact on everything from water quality to the state's fishing and recreation industries. States across the Great Lakes Basin, including Michigan, are working hard to make sure that new invaders like killer shrimp don't take hold. Nick Popoff is the Aquatic Species Manager for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. He joins us now to talk about how killer shrimp and other potential invaders could impact the Great Lakes and what the state's doing to keep them out. Nick, welcome to Current State.
Thank you very much for having me.
We want to clarify here, too, in my open, I might have suggested that that Michigan has killer shrimp already. Apparently it's an issue in the Great Lakes, but it's not yet in Michigan. Can you clarify that for us?
Yeah, they're actually not even in the continent yet, but they are a concern in Europe. They've invaded some other areas of Europe. They're from the Ponto-Caspian, so the Black Sea area to the Caspian Sea, and they're invading the rest of Europe. So, but their name, as their name suggests, they have a tendency to literally kill their prey without even eating them. So sometimes they'll eat them, but their name, you know, like you said, a B-grade horror movie. They are killer shrimp. They're a little small crustacean, about 1 inch long, and they can dominate.
Smaller than the shrimp that we're accustomed to seeing on our plate, then.
Yep, correct. Yep.
So, how does a plant or animal earn a spot on this banned species list?
Well, I mean, for this list, the seven species that we just added, six of those are a regional commitment by the Council of Great Lakes Governors. So really amazing step for the Great Lakes region. So these first six species are problematic on a sort of a global scale. So not yet in the United States. However, they are impacting other environments across the world. So nine governors and two premiers, so 11 government agencies, agreed to prohibit several species. So we're completing that commitment that Governor Snyder made by prohibiting these six. There's an additional crayfish species that wasn't part of that list. Mm.
How does the council determine which plants and animals pose the greatest threat?
Sure. They developed and tasked a group called the AIS Task Force. So representatives from all these 11 agencies sat down together and took a look at, like I said, a global scale, what was presenting problems around the world. As probably a lot of your listeners understand, ballast water moves a lot of invasive species. So large amounts of water come from all over the world to the Great Lakes. So it's very easy for a species that is around the world to get here. So this group got together and agreed to these 16 species that were not yet in the United States or the Great Lakes. And, you know, prevention is our number one priority.
How imminent is the threat from any of these species? Are any of them as close to the Great Lakes Basin as something like Asian carp? Are they all further away?
Sure. So the last one, red swamp crayfish, is actually right on our doorstep. It's native to the United States. That is not one of the Council of Great Lakes Governors' least wanted species. This is an additional step that Michigan's taking because it is a problematic species in the U.S. It has invaded several other states. It's invaded Wisconsin, and they literally had to pave over ponds because they're virtually impossible to eradicate. So that species, red swamp crayfish, is on our doorstep. It's in the food market, so that's a little concerning to us. It means we're going to have to do some outreach to get out to the food market and let them know that this species is now banned because it poses such a significant threat to our resource.
Nick Popoff is our guest. Nick is the Aquatic Species Manager for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. We're talking about killer shrimp and other potential invaders of the Great Lakes. What are the most common ways that invasive species make their way to the Great Lakes?
Well, certainly documented ballast water, you know, but for example, if you own a boat, you know, you can transport species, you know, if you move from one lake to another. So for example, Eurasian water milfoil, you know, that's something that'll grab right on your trailer and you wouldn't even know it. And you can go to the next lake where it may not be and it could establish itself. So There are several vectors or pathways, like we say. Ballast water is one of them. Organisms in trade, like pet shops, aquariums, you know, that's another way. The food markets, live food markets especially. And then obviously just hitchhiking, you know, so something grabbing on your boat, your fishing gear, your boots, whatever it may be. So those are some pathways that we focus on for prevention.
Which species concern you the most?
Well, of this list right now, I mean, I think I was just talking about red swamp crayfish. That's the one that's right on our doorstep. So that's one, you know, when we look at the scale, that's one that we're worried about right now. However, golden mussel, it's been moved around. We're tracking it through ballast water movement, and that's in Brazil, and there's a huge movement of ships from South America to North America. So that's another one we're concerned with. I mean, we're frankly concerned with all of these. All of them can completely change the environment. The definition of invasive species is something that causes harm, and these all can cause harm. So we're worried about all of them.
What specifically is the biggest threat? Is it to sport fishing? Is it to what?
Well, I'd say to the ecology. So, I mean, you know, the ecology sort of breeds everything. So sport fishing is dependent on a quality ecology. So what these invasive species will do is completely alter the ecology. Mm-hmm. So whether it is a top-down mechanism or bottom-up, they're going to alter the ecology. So, yes, it could affect sport fishing, but it could affect just a land user or someone who loves water and likes to know that the water is clean and safe. So It affects everyone equally, I would say.
Do people ever knowingly introduce a species in the hopes that it might become viable for sport fishing? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, you know, it certainly has. I mean, there's not too many documented cases in Michigan, but it's happened elsewhere in the country. For example, northern pike. I mean, northern pike are native in Michigan, but people have taken them to other places like Montana or Wyoming and introduced them, and they're causing all types of problems to trout populations there. So, yeah, it happens, and it's a fine line because people like to go out and harvest fish or whatever it may be, and, you know, and so if they get a hold of these critters and we don't have a knowledge of that, it could be introduced.
Sounds like every ecosystem has a particular balance with the species that are there, and that balance is apt to be disturbed if the wrong species, if you will, gets in there.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like you mentioned, we have, you know, over 150, 180 species that are already here. So our system is in this constant flux.
And that is an alarming number.
Sure.
150 to 180
yeah.
already here.
It's a lot. And it stems from, you know, large critters, you know, and to small little invertebrates. And they all have an equal impact.
How much effort is put into just managing those 150 to 180 that are already here?
Quite a bit. And I'll put a number on it. I mean, our estimates right now over the past 20 years, we've spent over $2.5 billion. Managing, controlling aquatic invasive species in the state of Michigan. And that means, you know, that could mean you treating your plant problem to the DNR going out and doing some work. But it's a huge price tag, and that's why prevention is so important for us.
Nick Popoff is with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. He's an aquatic species manager, and we're talking about invasive aquatic pests here to the Great Lakes. How do you guys enforce bans?
Well, so outreach and education is a very important tool. Again, I'll thank you for having me on here because that's really important. So the DNR and the state of Michigan can put laws and regulations in place, but at the end of the day, it's up to the individuals to be vigilant and aware of what's going on. So how we'll enforce it is get out there and we'll talk to the pet shops, we'll talk to the industries, and we'll let them be aware as aware they can of what's going on, where these seven species are and where they may be, how they could be transported. And then after that, once the awareness is built, you know, we have some penalties in place. You know, it can be a felony crime if you knowingly are transporting these aquatic invasive species that are prohibited.
Mm-hmm. How often does the DNR assess these fines?
Well, it just depends. So, you know, the Asian carp, you mentioned that earlier, that's a big one. We're constantly looking for, you know, movement of live fish, you know, that we're very concerned with that species. So, you know, we've had two contacts in the past 5 years of Asian carp transporting, you know. So, but we do have a law enforcement unit that is dedicated to enforcing aquatic invasive species laws. So they're out there, they're visiting pet shops, they're out there in the live food markets. And, you know, I can't speak for law enforcement, but they're out there every day doing this.
The Great Lakes haven't had a new invasive species since 2008. What has changed? How did the region clamp down on the problem?
Well, there's certainly been some improvements in ballast water movement. So, that's been our largest vector pathway of movement. So there's been some improvements in regulations of ballast water exchange. So that's helpful. And then just generally awareness. People are more involved. The governor is supporting this. The waters are an important resource in Michigan, arguably our most important resource. So I think our public is becoming aware of wanting to protect our water. So I think that's the biggest part. And that's the momentum that we're seeing right now, is that everyone wants to protect our water. So I think that's the biggest shift.
Is there any concern that it would take a while for the states to even notice invasions because these lakes are so vast?
Sure. I mean, that's a big concern. That's another reason why prevention is so important. You know, when you talk about a water body, it's three-dimensional. You can't see it so readily like a plant growing. I mean, you have to get in there and use survey gear that may not always catch these critters. So it is very concerning once they get in that it's hard to stop their spread, you know. So it's really important to get ahead of it. And I feel like now we're at that point where we're finally starting to get ahead of it. We have some grants going out. We have some infrastructure in place now. We're able to pay more closely attention to this problem.
Are there still improvements in terms of awareness of the ballast water? You say that we've made a lot of improvements and awareness has gone up as a result of that. Do we have a ways to go there?
We're certainly working on that. There's a phase-in period right now with ballast water that we're working in. That's at a Department of Environmental Quality thing. So they're working hard on that. And, there's always can be improvements. That said, from 10 years ago, it's greatly improved. There's definitely a ways to go. And I think the phase-in period is to 2018 or 2020 when some of these new regulations take effect. But so far, we have seen a reduction in introductions via that pathway.
And finally, are there things the public can do to help prevent invasive species? I mean, awareness is obviously huge. Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think just, paying attention to what you're doing, you know. So, for example, I use this common denominator here. If I'm going to go to your house and I have mud on my boots, it's just a common sense where I'm going to say, you know, I'm not going to track my mud in your house. I'm going to take my shoes off or I'm going to clean them. And that's what we're trying to get with our public, is just to have a common awareness, a common sense that pay attention to what you're putting in your water garden. Pay attention to what pet you're buying or what you're eating, and know that possibly this could cause harm. So it's just, I think awareness is the most important part. There's lots of resources out there. So, you know, we just encourage any learning or any contact that we have with them is great.
We've been talking about updates to Michigan's banned species list with Nick Popoff, Aquatic Species Manager for the state's Department of Natural Resources. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you very much.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.